Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. That means that's me. I'm Mark. I'm glad you're with us this morning. That's Kim St. Ange, Carl, the intern middleman, manning the board this morning. We'll get to Ethan in here with in other news coming up this little later this hour. And, of course, our friend Sue Thomas has been bringing us the traffic all morning long. So hang around for that for the very latest. I do would like to point out that we are trying to help out our first responders. And we do it all the time at this radio station, but thanks to my friend Grillmaster Tony, that we do something extra special, right? Once a month, the man makes a box full of food, and we take it out and we deliver it to our first responders. And here, I mean, the thing about it is, all you have to do is nominate one of them, and you know, we're going to pick from the nominations that come in. I'm talking about an individual. Do you know a police officer? Do you know a firefighter, an EMS worker that you're proud of the work they do? Nominate them, and we will possibly select their department to have lunch delivered courtesy of Grillmaster Tony. I'll bring it myself once a month. So all you got to do is go to our website, go to 971talk.com under the contest tab, and you'll see it there. You can just fill out the nomination form, and we will start our deliveries this month. In fact, Grillmaster Tony and I will be heading out in the next week or so at the end of the month to deliver a box of food. Doesn't get any better than that. Just thought I'd point that out this morning. Thanks to you if you're watching us on the socials this morning. Of course, YouTube, Facebook, X, all of them are up there. We're interacting with people on the YouTube and Facebook pages there. So be sure and give us your feedback on the show as we move along this morning. Coming up, you know, yesterday Tom Cotton put out a pretty dire warning to the Democrats. He's like, all right, you're trying to slow walk these nominations. Get ready to work through the weekend if you do that again, because starting tomorrow, we are going to get floor votes on these nominations. I'm going to check in with our friend Ryan Schmelz from Fox News Radio, who's covering the status of the nomination so far, who still needs a vote, where things stand. They're trying to throw more garbage against the wall on Pete Hegseth. We're going to cover that today for you as well. We'll get a check of business at the bottom of the hour with Nicole Murray, who would very much like to work remotely all the time like Kim St. Ange.
Well, no, I actually don't think I would want to work remotely.
I get too lonely.
I'm such a people person that working remotely, I would like a hybrid schedule.
If you missed Kim on a whim earlier, we were talking about that issue and Donald Trump ordering all these federal employees back to work. I was just giving Kim some grief there. But I did hear Nicole Murray this morning. She's a big proponent of a 3 or 4 day work week or work from home.
No. 3 day work week is a joke. Well, I enjoyed a 4 day work week during the COVID era, but I can understand why if companies are paying you to do a job, you know, you got to work.
If you missed that conversation, go back and pick it up on the podcast or hit rewind on the Odyssey app and you can check that out. We'll try to make that as easy as possible for you. Right now, Carl Middleman, I would like to get to our shortlist, please.
The Mark Cox shortlist.
So she sells magical self-care kits. She sells spells. Like, you could get your own spell, like a personalized spell.
Our friend Jane Duker talking about a St. Louis County councilwoman. She recently left county council. And what she's up to these days, in case you heard Witchy Woman playing in the background there.
So these people have already served a long period of time, and I made a decision to give a pardon. Joe Biden gave a pardon yesterday to a lot of criminals. These are criminals that he gave a pardon to.
Yeah, President Trump defending strongly his decision to pardon the people who were, in many cases, railroaded on the January 6th convictions over the past 4 years by the Biden Department of Injustice.
President Biden was amazing for the richest folks out there. He lavished them with trillions of dollars. Of course, it was his favorite businesses and industries. And it didn't matter if they struggled on their own.
Yeah, Charles Payne, guess what? That dude is going to be joining us live again this morning. It's been a while. He's been on a book tour and doing some other stuff, and we haven't had him live. But we've got him this morning right here at about 8:35.
He had no political experience whatsoever. He had no business experience. He was given everything that he has. He is a legacy hire. He is, if anything, a DEI hire.
Oh, it's so fun to watch the left meltdown. That's Sunny Hostin, in case you didn't recognize the voice there, Kim. And she's angry. She's hot. She didn't watch the inauguration at all. She went and did volunteer work and went to Buffalo Wild Wings and had drinks. And she just ignored the whole thing. And she hates that Donald Trump today, officially today, by the end of business today, every federal agency has to suspend any employee they have whose job is only to work on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Isn't that fantastic? Like today, it ends today. Donald Trump, they're not going to look back at Donald Trump and evaluate his first 100 days. They're going to evaluate his first 100 hours. Mm-hmm. Look at how efficient he's been so far. They've had these things laid out. I hate to say it. I heard somebody say this the other day, and I didn't want to agree with it. But they're like, listen, if what happened in 2020 hadn't happened, There's the headwinds against Donald Trump would have been just as strong in a second a concurrent administration, right? If he had continued in office in 2020, he would have faced the same headwinds and he wouldn't have been nearly as effective.
I agree.
This 4 years he's had off has allowed him to reassemble a team that supports what he's trying to do.
And reflect on the first 4 years.
Yes.
What worked, what didn't. He's been able to probably network a lot more, get a better group of people he can actually trust, because that was a big problem in the first term, was that he had to fire all these people because he just realized they weren't the right fit. I think it's funny you say that. My husband and I were talking about that on Inauguration Day, saying, wow, that the 4 years was so necessary. We didn't see it at the time, and that's how it is. They say hindsight is 2020.
Yeah.
Looking back, it's like, yeah. He has. I mean, gosh, it's like every day you just wonder, what else? What else? What else is he going to do? And yeah, I mean, all these DEI, you know, offices and programs and social media accounts that have to be shut down. These federal agencies have to submit a written plan by the end of this month, January 31st, for dismissing all the employees who fall under that department. I do feel for them losing their jobs, but these departments never should have been set up in the first place.
Listen to the rest of the Sunny Hostin bite here real quick. Go to Cut 9. This is how angry she is. She claims Trump, because his dad was already a businessman, is somehow gained from diversity, equity, and inclusion. Listen.
And Donald Trump saying things that this country would be a meritocracy. You're talking about a man who didn't become the president of the United States because of merit. He had no political experience whatsoever. He had no business experience. He was given everything that he has. He is a legacy hire. He is, if anything, a DEI hire, a didn't earn it hire.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
She's just beside herself.
That guy, Donald Trump, may have started out with more than the average person growing up, but he turned, let's just say, you know, $1 million into a multi-billion-dollar empire. That guy is a very successful businessman. And you see, like, I understand Ronald Reagan was governor first, but you think about someone like that. I mean, that's a big position to be in before he became president. He was a Hollywood actor. He didn't have this political experience. It's not like he went through the typical route where you see someone maybe be local, like a council member, and then they go as a state rep and a state senate and da-da. He didn't do that.
From SAG to the governor's office, yeah.
Right.
Agree. Yeah.
And there are plenty of people who are extremely effective with no, you know, official experience. The guy is a phenomenal businessman, and that you need someone who has that experience to be able to run a country effectively.
The libs prefer 50-year veterans like Joe Biden, who talk a lot and get absolutely nothing done except damage the country for sure. All right, coming up, Ryan Schmelz. He's been checking out who's still up in terms of Trump nominees to get confirmation hearings and votes. I'll get you updated on that in just a minute. We'll check in with Nicole Murray at the bottom of the hour in other news at about 6:45. We'll be back.
Senator Schumer stood here yesterday and talked about how we're going to cooperate on highly qualified, capable nominees with integrity, which John Ratcliffe is. Yet the only vote we got yesterday was Senator Rubio. Now we're not going to have a vote today, and apparently we're not going to have a vote tomorrow. Which means I hope nobody's making any plans for the weekend or the evenings, because we're going to get these nominees confirmed, starting with Mr. Ratcliffe, and then moving on to Mr. Hegseth and moving on to Mr. Gnome, the easy way or the hard way. We tried to cooperate with the Democrats. The cooperation has not been forthcoming. So I guess it's going to be the hard way, starting on Thursday.
Yeah, Senator Tom Cotton playing a little hardball there, but Kristi Noem is a lot of things. She's not a mister. Did you hear him say Mr. Noem? What's he thinking about? Has he not seen her? I don't know. She's a lot of things, but she's not a mister. But anyway, I love that because they're saying, listen, we're going to move along, and if you want to work through the weekend, we can, or we can just go ahead and get these things done one way or the other. There's still a lot of hearings that have to take place, I believe, and we've got Ryan Schmelz on the phone from Fox News Radio this morning. Ryan, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
Still lots of work to be done up there, right?
Just a little bit, right? Yeah, we thought you thought that the Marco Rubio, after the Marco Rubio confirmation, things would be easy, but that was just a tease. Things are now getting difficult.
Well, you know, Rubio's part of the gang. I mean, I'm not surprised the Senate swept him through first. But, you know, I saw yesterday they came out with some new allegations about Hegseth from a former sister-in-law or something like that. Who's up next? Like I heard them say Ratcliffe could get a floor vote in the Senate today, but what's the schedule that you, as far as you know?
Right. So the idea was yesterday they were going to try to get John Ratcliffe through as the CIA director, but then he faced a objection because Chris Murphy, the Democrat who was objecting here, thought that there should at least be debate on his position because it's a very important position for national security. So Republicans have been frustrated by that. They wanted to get Ratcliffe through yesterday, but I think the idea is to maybe have the vote today, get him through, and then likely have a vote on Hegseth potentially either Friday or Saturday. So I think they're getting ready for the possibility of staying through the weekend and getting some of these nominees confirmed.
Do we have any idea when, say, you know, Kash Patel, RFK Jr.'s hearings will begin?
Nothing official that I've seen as of right now. They're running into issues with paperwork. There's an FBI background check for Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Kash Patel that they still need to get. And there's also some files with the Office of Government Ethics I don't think they've gotten back yet either. So until they get those back, they can't really move forward with the, you know, having the hearing and ultimately having the votes to get them confirmed. Now, I think one thing to point out, though, is that probably – the Health and Human Services big goal that President-elect Trump, or now President Trump, had was rescinding the vaccine mandate for government employees, especially those in the military. And that's already been done with through executive order.
Yeah. So he doesn't have to wait on that appointee or nominee to get through to do that. Ryan, have they... I heard the word recess appointments mentioned yesterday, and I heard the president say that that he didn't think he was going to need to use that, but clearly he's not opposed to using it.
Yes, but it doesn't look like he's going to have to use it just yet. Yes, these are some delay tactics, and yes, it might be taking longer than what they would like. But, you know, a lot of these nominees like John Ratcliffe are still on the right track to get confirmed. And it was interesting to see Ratcliffe face the delay yesterday because he's someone who probably will get a couple of Democrat votes at least. But, you know, here we are with the delays going on right now, and we'll see how long this goes on for.
Yeah, you know who this is good for? This is good for the reporter business because Donald Trump has probably given you guys more access the last 48 hours than you've had the last 48 months.
It hasn't been boring. I can definitely tell you that, and I can confirm that for you. But we'll see what happens from here. But, yes, it has at least been very entertaining over the last couple of hours. But, you know, maybe we could break it up a little bit. You know, the inauguration was enough as it is. I don't think we need a busy news week after that.
Yeah, it's going to hit all in a big hurry here, I think. Ryan, listen, we appreciate your time. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
Yes, sir. Ryan Schmelz there live this morning. Here's the Hegseth news, right? So an 11th-hour affidavit from his former sister-in-law, right, who was married to his brother, apparently, claiming that there were instances of abuse and mistreatment of a former spouse. Now, the interesting thing is that the former spouse has submitted a statement to senators that none of that ever happened. There was no physical abuse in my marriage. This is the only further statement I will make to you. So he's got an ex-sister-in-law who was married to his brother claiming that there was abuse involving his ex-wife, which the ex-wife denies. I mean, it just got all the markings of another staged event to try to delay the Hegseth hearings, or at least a nomination vote. I don't know what they're up to, but recess appointments may be in order here at some point. All right, coming up, Nicole Murray will get you a check of business, and in other news at about 6:45. We'll be back.
Well, yeah, they did come to an agreement with the police, and the union came to an agreement for a raise. And they're going to cut vacancies to pay for it.
Yeah, Jane Duker on yesterday with our friend Mark Reardon in the afternoons and talking about this deal that's going to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. So what is the advantage to Tashara Jones, the mayor, to give more money to the officers that they have but eliminate positions at the same time? Well, it's pretty simple. But where before they appeared to have 400 vacancies, now it appears they've only got 200 vacancies because they eliminated a bunch of positions that they've been unwilling or unable to fill. You know what that is, don't you? That's defunding the police. That's what they're doing. I know they're giving the officers a raise. I've got friends that work down there. I'm happy for them. They needed to be paid at least close to what they're paying officers in the county to stem the flow of people going out there. We're going to talk more about this coming up, though, this little sleight of hand that they pulled here. I mean, the officers are not happy that these positions have been eliminated because they all have to work overtime and they're short-staffed constantly. And that's how they play shell games with the city budget all the time. So we'll chat more about that coming up in just a couple of minutes. Right now, let's get to our friend Nicole, please. Nicole Murray, how are you?
I am doing okay. How are you?
Were your ears burning earlier? We were talking about you. Did you know
that?
Kim and I had the whole conversation. We did a whole segment this morning on all these federal employees being told they have to leave the friendly confines of their house and get their butt back to work in the office.
I don't get it.
And I heard you and Gordon Deal talking about that this morning.
I just don't get it. If you can do your job at home and the work is getting done, why does it matter?
See, I think Mark brought up a good point that I agree with, and that would be that a lot of these bosses then have to go chasing around their employees. You know, you have to set up a Zoom or call them hoping that they're going to pick up or text them, or a lot of companies use Teams, and it's just so easy for people to set it up to make it look like they're by their computer and they're active, but they're really not.
Laying by the pool drinking wine. I know what they're doing.
I mean, maybe part of the rules of working from home should be that you have to remain reachable, but if the work is getting done, I don't get it. What's the point of making someone sit in an office for 8 hours if it takes them 6 hours to get everything done?
I'm with Gordon. I need you to be in the office so you can stare at my face if I'm the boss.
Well, you're not trying to punish him, Mark.
Thanks, Kim.
Anything but that, please.
Anything, please, no. All right, what you got going on in business?
All right, so futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 537, the NASDAQ up 126, the S&P 500 up 52. The Federal Trade Commission has taken action against General Motors and its OnStar division for allegedly collecting and selling sensitive geolocation and driving behavior data for millions of vehicles without the driver's clear consent. The agency said the behavior could affect consumers' insurance rate. President Donald Trump has signed an executive order requiring federal department heads to require all federal workers to return to in-person work 5 days a week. Other companies that have instilled similar policies include Amazon, JP Morgan, and AT&T. President Trump has announced that he intends to impose a 10% tariff on Chinese imports. The duties would start as soon as February 1st. Three top tech firms, that's OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle, have announced that they will create a new company called Stargate to grow artificial intelligence infrastructure in the U.S. The companies will invest $100 billion to start and up to $500 billion over the next 4 years. President Trump added the project is expected to create 100,000 jobs. Netflix is hiking the price of most of its U.S. plans. The streaming giant announced its standard plan without commercials will increase from $15.49 a month to $17.99. Its cheaper ad-supported plan, which was more recently introduced to attract more subscribers, will increase from $6.99 to $7.99 per month. And finally, are you someone who can cry in public or in front of other people? If not, you may want to learn how. Relationship expert Marina Lazarus says that men who cry tend to be the best lovers.
Mark?
I have no comment. My wife's in deep trouble. Deep, deep trouble.
Do you ever cry?
I'm not a cry. Of course I've cried at funerals. Cried when Joe Biden got elected. But I mean, other than major events like that, no. Generally not.
Not on the regular, huh?
Not on the regular. Mm. I don't know. Why isn't anybody asking Carl Middleman this question?
Carl?
Carl's more likely to be a crier.
Yeah. I have feelings and I'm a better lover.
Are you? Would you call yourself a crier?
I find myself, as I get older, I find myself crying at like movies and TV shows more than I did when I was younger.
Did you cry when Darth Vader died?
No. He was the villain.
Okay.
But he was redeemed.
No.
When Han Solo died, no, I was more shocked.
I don't know any other character. I know Yoda, R2-D2. I can't even have this conversation because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how many guys are that emotional. Most of them pretty guarded with that stuff, right?
I think it depends which generation we're talking about. Gen Z and the younger millennials, I think, are kind of becoming more emotionally aware, if you will, where crying is not as uncommon as it was before.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's a line. It's okay for a guy to be emotional, I guess, about something. I have no problem with that. I can find it endearing, but if a guy is just crying all the time, like, come on. There's a time and place for it.
Now,
at some point, you have to man up.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to see that I'm crying. I hide that, but...
Well, just don't turn on MSNBC and you won't have to watch that.
I mean, yeah, but don't tell them to man up. That's dangerous. If they need to cry because they spilled milk.
No, if they cry because like they can't find the outfit they want to wear, that's a problem. If they cry because their dog died, totally
well,
get it.
Well, of course I cried when my dog died. I mean, but those are rare private occasions.
Why don't you make a list of all the occasions where you've cried, Mark? Let us know.
That's a rare
Gretchen's
private occasion.
Wedding?
Yes.
See?
Yeah, birth of
see?
Your children?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And grandchildren?
I don't think Michael cried when Easton was born, but it was kind of...
Tears of joy,
it was a little
right?
bit traumatic
yeah.
at
yeah,
the end, so I think
happy.
We were a little bit...
happy.
Yeah. I think
yeah,
we're
tears
safe,
of
Carl.
Joy.
We're safe,
you're right.
Carl.
Yeah.
All right,
we've
you guys are okay.
We've convinced ourselves we're good. We're all good. Thanks, Nicole.
Thank you guys so much.
Nicole never knows what she's walking into with this conversation. Poor girl gets teamed up on sometimes.
No, I brought this topic.
Yes,
so
she did.
But you know what?
My fault.
We love that you participate and that you go back and forth with us. So respect.
Appreciate you guys very much.
Yep. Thanks, Nicole. We'll talk to you Friday.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's not kind of where I expected that conversation to go, but that's all right.
Yeah. Go ahead, you know, get emotional about things. But yeah, if you get a little boo boo, if you get a little paper cut, and I see you crying, I'm sorry, but I'm gonna have some questions about your manhood.
Thank you. Yeah, if you have to wear a Band-Aid on your hand like J.D. Vance's
Bluey.
Little daughter did, then we got issues.
I agree.
Thank you.
At least wear a manly Band-Aid, you know, like a
Spider-Man Band-Aid and not Bluey.
Like a Superman Band-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah. A dinosaur Band-Aid or something like that.
That makes it better. You cover that paper cut with a Superman Band-Aid.
And you're
See?
Still a man.
It those things make a difference here. I'm telling you, they do. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about this St. Louis police situation. Like I said earlier, you're just playing a shell game. I watched the mayor of St. Louis yesterday hold a news conference where she was bragging about how crime is down and you can't question our numbers. These are uniform crime statistic numbers from the FBI and blah, blah, blah. But by the way, we're going to pay our officers some more, but we're also going to eliminate 115 positions to pay for it. Well, that's not money you were spending anyway because the positions were empty. That's defunding the police. You've eliminated 115 police jobs or however many there were. So I just don't, I'm not buying what they're selling there, and I think that it's a shame. I'm sure the police are happy to have the raise because many of them were complaining. I've heard them complain about how much more officers make in the county, right, than in the city, for probably in many cases putting up with a lot less grief and trouble and overtime and all of those things. But, you know, you're committed to your job. You want to stay there. You want to do the right thing. In the meantime, Kim, how much money was distributed by Mayor Winfrey? I mean, Mayor Jones from the Ram settlement money? Was it $74 million?
I thought it was four. Well, there was something. I think it was $40 million going to North City.
Yes.
This whole Ram settlement thing has been a disaster.
It is a disaster.
And by the way, let me point this out. I don't think it's just a coincidence that Mayor Jones decided to do this whole restructuring, if you will, pay raise. And then they came out a week or two ago and tried to say that homicides are at like a 2-decade low or some nonsense like that, that I'm not even sure I believe. I feel like they're trying to do this because they know today is when lawmakers will start talking about state control. And she yes. has been very against that. Which I get. They don't want to lose control. I think it's going to happen. The fact that Governor Kehoe is on board, I think, will help streamline that process.
If they get anything done this year, that might be it. I don't think it's going to be an issue to petition reform, but I think they will put control of the St. Louis PD back under the state control. And I don't think that could come a minute too soon. I'm glad they got pay raises, but I'm sad they think eliminating positions is the way to accomplish that. When you're sitting on $80 million that you haven't spent yet in Ram settlement money. Not a single dime of it went to public safety. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. We'll talk about in other news with Ethan.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Garth Hudson, the last surviving member of the influential rock band The Band, has passed away at the age of 87 in a nursing home in Woodstock, New York. Hudson, remembered as the musical genius and the glue that made The Band, played keyboards for the group, which formed in 1957 as The Hawks and famously collaborated with Bob Dylan.
Wow. Yeah, they played background on a lot of his albums, right?
The Last Waltz was their farewell, and Dylan was on there. They basically were his backing band for the 60s.
Wow. That's sad. And how old was he? 87?
87.
Wow.
And he was the last one.
Yeah.
There are five of them. And Robbie Robertson was the lead guy, but he passed away a couple years ago.
2023. That's when Robertson died.
Two years ago.
Speaking of Bob Dylan, memorabilia of his fetched $1.5 million at a Nashville auction featuring 60 rare items once owned by the legendary musician. Highlights included an early draft of Mr. Tambourine Man, which sold for $508,000, an oil painting of I. Dylan for $260,000, and a custom 1983 Fender Telecaster, which sold for $222,000.
Wow. Did he get any of that money?
No, this was actually some guy had started collecting all this memorabilia and actually just turned around and sold it.
Oh, good for
him. That stuff actually sounds cool. Not that I would ever pay that much money for it, but think about Taylor Swift and how obsessed with her some of these people are. If Taylor Swift chewed a piece of gum and then spit it out of her mouth, I bet you some of her fans would be willing to pay $200,000+ for that ABC gum.
Some Chiefs fans would be willing to pay $200,000 for that, I think.
It depends on what happens this weekend.
That's true. Very true.
There's a rumor that Bob Dylan is going to be on Saturday Night Live this weekend because Timothée Chalamet is the host and musical guest.
Okay.
Because he just played Dylan in that movie, which I love that
Interesting.
Movie.
All right. Well, I don't watch it anyway. I'll see the highlights, I guess.
The Baseball Hall of Fame class of 2025 includes Ichiro Suzuki, CeCe Sabathia, and Billy Wagner. Each earned over 75% of votes from the Baseball Writers Association of America. Ichiro, in his first year of eligibility, narrowly missed the unanimous election by one vote. One stupid, stupid writer.
The first time he missed.
No, this is the first time he's been on the ballot.
He would have been a unanimous
vote.
One dude.
Wow.
Said he wasn't worthy.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
That's amazing.
So Chris Kerber was tweeting out earlier. He said, that guy should have the stones to admit who he was and why he didn't vote for
Ichiro. Thank you. Yeah.
But it's an anonymous vote by the baseball writers.
Some of the bigger guys really, they'll put their votes up on Twitter and stuff just to, hey, it wasn't me. we're going to stick with sports for a second. So this is going to be kind of a long story, but not really. Topps put out an autograph of Paul Skeens, who is the rookie pitcher from Pittsburgh. They put out a one-of-one card. It's a patch card. Everybody in the card community was going nuts for this card. Well, an 11-year-old in Los Angeles found it. So congratulations to this kid. Like, it's just a baseball card.
Signed.
Signed.
And everybody was buying up the cards trying to find it. Yes. It's like Willy Wonka.
Correct.
It's like a Willy Wonka story.
One of the reasons everybody was going for it, because the Pirates offered, if you found this card, the Pirates, in exchange for the card, were going to give you two Pirates season tickets behind home plate for the next 30 years.
Oh, my gosh.
A meet and greet with Paul Skeens, two Skeens autographed jerseys, a softball game for the next 30 years at PNC Park with coaching from Pirate alums, the private tour of Pirate City and Lemco Park in Florida. On top of that, Livy Dune, who is Skeens' girlfriend and the gymnast from LSU that everybody knows, says if you found the card, you would get to sit with her at future Pirate games.
But the kid lives in L.A.?
The kid lives in L.A.
so well, he's not going to have any interest in any of that.
Well, he could sell it, right?
Yes, they said
for
it's
a lot
valued,
of money.
They value it at $1 to $1.5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Such a great stadium, too.
This is like Willy Wonka. Great.
So that kid just made bank.
Yeah, no kidding. Good for him. I would not have thought that that would have been that valuable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either.
It's a beautiful stadium. She's right. Yeah. It's a beautiful stadium. Yeah. I've been there.
The Razzies were announced, the Golden Raspberry Awards, for their 2024 nominees ahead of the Oscars, spotlighting what they consider the year's worst films. Joker 2 leads with 7 nominations, including Worst Picture, Director, Screenplay, Worst Actor and Actress. Other top contenders include Madam Web, Megalopolis, Borderlands, and Reagan, each with 6 nods.
Wow. The Razzies. Huh? I talked about that the other day, didn't I?
I've never even heard of the Razzies.
They're the worst movies of the year.
I hear that now.
Yeah, the Raspberries Awards.
And Mark said he liked Reagan, but...
It brought back a lot of good memories, but it wasn't the best acting you've ever seen.
So you're saying they don't put it on their resume that they were nominated for worst actor?
I just want to mention that.
Halle Berry showed up and picked up her award.
A couple of people have done that.
Yeah.
Tom Green.
Is it a legitimate statue? What is it a statue of?
It's a raspberry.
Raspberry.
Is it?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it really is.
Something golden like raspberry.
The golden raspberry.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood, talk a little bit more about some of Trump's first 100 hours, you might say, when we come back. 720.
Get more at 971talk.com.